Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, rate strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. In this episode, we review the weaker-than-consensus Q1 GDP print, the April FOMC meeting, and peer into some of the risks to the April employment report. John, as you had forecast, Q1 GDP came in below consensus expectations. Can you take us through the report, and in particular, what stood out to you? Also, what are the implications for Q2 and second half economic growth?
Yes, thank you, John. So great question. So again, the GDP numbers, I was looking at the view on the street for the numbers, and I was just really taken by the fact that there was such an enormous spread between the highest expectation around zero and then the lowest of around like -12, -13%. But the number came in down 4.8%, very close to our number. We would forecast down 4.5%. What stood out at us is a few things. The consumer spending really took a pretty deep hit, but it was likely even weaker in the first quarter, was it not for households stockpiling things like food and beverages, water, milk, and also household items, sanitary items, and everything else. So the consumer side, even though that number looked pretty weak on the headline, it was likely it's going to weaken significantly more in the second quarter. On the CapEx, again, a kind of similar thing. You know, the equipment was weak, the structures were weak, pretty much in line with our expectation. But the spending on software held up a lot better than we were thinking. So that suggests even more downside to the software component in the second quarter. The same thing true with residential investment. Very warm weather, very strong housing investment statistic, 21, but we look for a really sharp, deep negative turnaround in the second quarter. So again, another big downside versus the second quarter GDP. Government spending, this weird bifurcation. Federal government spending pretty decent, but the state and local government pretty soft. And as we know now, state and local government budgets are really stressed with the inability to collect taxes right now during tax season. So they're going to be constrained in their spending going forward. So with that bifurcation should persist, and we would expect, you know, even more downside risks on the state and local in the second quarter. And then lastly, I would just highlight there was a very, you know, business inventories were really pretty weak, but there was a very sizable offset coming from unplanned buildup of motor vehicle inventories as those units weren't sold in March. So there was a very big buildup of those inventories. We look, therefore, for the inventory number to be down a staggering large number in the second quarter. So just adding all the pieces up, second quarter looks down somewhere between -25% to -38-39%. In the second quarter, driven down by everything, consumption, business spending, inventories, housing market numbers, continued strains on state and local government spending. So very, very weak there. That once you get past a very deep downdraft, the question becomes, how big is the bounce back going to be in the second half of the year? We continue to suggest to people that we don't hold the most optimistic scenario on second half rebound. We're looking for a decent rebound. We're just not looking for one that's as large as most people on the street. And we just think there's just going to be a few factors, as Chairman Powell highlighted today, a few factors globally and domestically that are going to hold back the pace of this kind of V-shaped expectation that people have.
Thank you, John. Moving on, the FOMC just concluded its April policy meeting. What did you find interesting in the policy statement and Chair Powell's post-meeting press conference?
So in the policy statement, what we thought was really telling and really excellent was that the Fed really went out and highlighted just the extent to which the COVID-19 outbreak and the policies to arrest that outbreak have really weakened the underlying momentum in the economy and created a lot of not just near-term risks to the outlook, but risks to the over the medium term or intermediate term. So we thought that was very, very impressive and very forthcoming from the Fed. That was the first point. Second point is we thought, you know, the Fed was also extremely transparent on keeping the zero, you know, the Fed policy rate at the zero lower bound, as we call it, or ZERP, as we call it. So we thought they were very transparent in the forward guidance there and saying, you know, that they're going to maintain ZERP, you know, well into the time period when the committee is confident that the economy has weathered all of the recent turmoil and is the economy is on track to achieve its maximum employment and price stability targets. So that was a really, really, in the press conference, Chair Powell even gave even more context to that sentence. And, you know, he described it in terms of, you know, the recovery and, you know, having this sense that, you know, the recovery has, you know, we've achieved the full recovery on the one hand, and then on the second hand, that the economy has an escape velocity in the expansion that's decent enough to sort of push the economy back towards the really favorable track that we were on over the last year or 2 years of, you know, a movement up towards 2% inflation and towards, you know, full employment, which, you know, most estimates around, you know, somewhere around 4.5%, let's say. So I think that's really, really important because for us in our models, we don't hit a full recovery alone until you get after the year 2021. So sometime around mid-year 2022, we think is a reasonable expectation for hitting the full recovery time period. And then the escape velocity after that looks a little bit weak in our models compared to the views of the street and the Fed's previous guidance. So in our numbers, we look for something like 1.4% in that escape velocity time period, whereas most people on the street think it's going to be 2% or better. You know, so they're much more optimistic than we are. So that all in, that just suggests to us that the interest rates at zero lower bound stay there all through this year, all through next year, 2021, and through most of the year 2022, and possibly longer. But that's a totally out of consensus view.
Thanks, John. That's helpful. As readers of your research know, payrolls could drop 20 million in April alone. Is there a risk to that forecast that particularly troubles you? And how might those risks influence Chair Powell's policy stance and your interest rate outlook?
So again, so I think, you know, as we've been guiding, we thought our models were suggesting that payrolls could be down around 18 to 20 million. The most recent tracking figures point to, believe it or not, payrolls down around 22, 23 million. But the one risk that really, really concerns us is that we see a legitimate chance that payrolls could even be as weak as down 31 million jobs. So there's several ways that we can actually build up that such a number and such a risk. But one way is just to think about the PPP program by the federal government, payroll protection. Just think about like who they're focused on. They're focused on all of these small businesses. And as we know, the small businesses, they comprise about 65 million workers in total. So even if we just assume that only 35% of small businesses were adversely impacted by the, you know, the various state lockdowns and the like, even if it's just 35, then you're talking about payrolls being right there, being down around 23 million. So then we build in other factors. So the bottom line is we're very, very concerned that payrolls could be down even much weaker than people are expecting, down again, say 31 million. That would mean the unemployment rate possibly surges to something like 22-23%. That would feed into Chair Powell's concerns that he said today, where he said, you know, the government, I've never seen the Fed really call out the federal government, but he said the federal government's PPP program, he said it's finite. It has a limited capacity to provide aid to Main Street. And he said, whereas his Main Street lending program is going to have the unlimited power of the Fed's balance sheet. And so he said, there's no limit to that. So I think that, you know, to me was, you know, maybe Chair Powell is worried about the same thing that we are, that maybe this number next Friday could be significantly weaker than what people are thinking about, in which case it may shape people's view that, you know, boy, it's going to take a while over the medium term to get anywhere back to a normalization in labor markets, consumer confidence, consumer spending, and the like. And we think that that's a really, really important insight.
Excellent insight as always, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.